Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Mental and Emotional Distress and Privacy Act Damages Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 28, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Federal Aviation Administration versus Cooper. This case involves the Privacy Act, which governs the manner in which executive branch agencies collect, use, and disseminate records containing information about individuals. The Act authorizes an award of money damages to an individual who establishes that government misuse of such records was intentional or willful, and resulted in the individual suffering, quote, actual damages, end quote. The question here was whether mental and emotional injuries qualify as actual damages under the Privacy Act. In an opinion delivered by Justice Alito, the court held by a vote of 5-3 that mental and emotional distress does not constitute actual damages under the Privacy Act. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Scalia, Kennedy, and Thomas joined Justice Alito's opinion. Justice Sotomayor filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justices Ginsburg and Breyer. Justice Kagan did not participate in the consideration or the decision of this case. To discuss the case, we have Richard Peltsteel, who is an associate professor at the University of Massachusetts School of Law, Dartmouth. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Peltsteel.
The Supreme Court on March 28 decided a case under the Privacy Act, FAA v. Cooper. Stan Cooper was a pilot caught up in a federal investigation into misrepresentation of medical conditions to the FAA. Four times from 1998 to 2004, Cooper omitted his positive HIV status from his applications for pilot licensure. But in 1995, he had disclosed his HIV status in application to the Social Security Administration for disability benefits. Cooper's omission was discovered when FAA and Social Security inspectors compared notes on 45,000 Northern California pilots in a joint investigation. The FAA revoked Cooper's pilot license, and he pleaded guilty to making misdemeanor false statements to a government agency. Those facts were not in dispute, but Cooper sued the government under the Privacy Act, alleging unlawful sharing of information by FAA and Social Security. And because both agencies failed to dot their I's on Privacy Act protocol, this case was a good one. That was not in dispute either. The problem arose in damages. Cooper did not allege any economic loss, but claimed severe mental and emotional suffering as a result of his Social Security's disclosure of his HIV status. The Privacy Act allows recovery for actual damages only, using those words, actual damages. And the lower courts in Cooper's case divided over whether actual damages could mean the general damages of emotional distress alone, without any showing of special damages in the form of pecuniary loss. Muddying the water of the question are other provisions of the Privacy Act. In its preamble, the Act refers to any damages, but when it refers to actual damages sustained, the Act goes on to set a $1,000 floor. In 2004, the Supreme Court had held that actual damages are prerequisite for that $1,000 floor to kick in, but declined then to explain what actual damages are. With Justice Kagan recusing, the court in Cooper divided 5-3 along its familiar ideological fault line and in favor of the government. Both a majority opinion by Justice Alito, joined by Roberts, Scalia, Kennedy, and Thomas, and a dissent by Justice Sotomayor, joined by Ginsburg and Breyer, were unremarkable, substantially tracking the competing rationales of the lower courts. For the court majority, Justice Alito's central position in favor of the government echoed the opinion of the Northern California Trial Court and relied principally on sovereign immunity doctrine as a principle of statutory construction. The term actual damages is far from clear, Justice Alito explained, and he adopted one point from the Ninth Circuit, its characterization of the term actual damages as a chameleon that takes on meaning fitting the statute in which it appears. The Privacy Act, the court reasoned, is similar to common law libel per quad, or defamation that is not per se. Libel per quad and slander require proof of special damages or economic loss, and only then can a plaintiff further recover general damages for reputational loss and emotional distress. Given a choice, then, between special damages and general damages, the threshold requirement of the Privacy Act that the plaintiff prove actual damages must refer to the per quad threshold of special damages. So Congress and the Privacy Act only authorized recovery for pecuniary losses. Cooper did not allege any pecuniary loss, so he's out of luck. The court confessed that limiting actual damages to special damages is a plausible, but certainly not the only possible, construction of the ambiguous statute. But the Privacy Act represents an express statutory waiver of federal sovereign immunity. Viewed in that light, the court construes ambiguous statutes so as to minimize the scope of the government's waiver, limiting actual damages to special damages is consistent with that construction. In dissent, and echoing the opinion of the Ninth Circuit, Justice Sotomayor approached the problem from an entirely different perspective. The tools of statutory construction, she explained, are for ambiguous statutes when the text is not plain. This text is plain. Actual damages, she wrote, means just that, actual damages, synonymous with compensatory damages. Emotional distress is actual, Sotomayor concluded, so there is no need to seek refuge in a canon of construction. She bolstered her position with reference to the creation and purpose of the Privacy Act. The 1974 law came about, she wrote, in response to the illegal surveillance exposed in the Watergate scandal. And what does a victim of illegal surveillance suffer but emotional distress? Sotomayor railed against the deprivation of recovery for the victim of an invasion of privacy whose singular shortcoming is failure to show a pecuniary loss, maybe as trivial as the purchase of a bottle of Tylenol. Cooper and Privacy Act complainants like him have more on the line in their cases than a bottle of Tylenol or severe mental suffering because the Privacy Act contains a fee-shifting provision. The fees on Cooper's side were estimated to exceed $200,000 going into the Supreme Court appeal, so there is a tangible financial sting to this loss. Whether or not consistent with congressional intent, the court's stringent construction of the Privacy Act's damages requirement will deter future claims under the Act. As a member of the Ninth Circuit panel said, emotional injury is 99% of what we're talking about in invasion of privacy. So an act with fewer teeth is good news for the federal purse, but bad news for privacy advocates, and bad news for whistleblower advocates, whose Amici and Cooper worried that the government will silence critics with the threat of humiliating revelations. Finally, this construction of the Privacy Act almost surely will precipitate challenges to other key federal laws, including the Civil Rights Act and the Fair Credit Reporting Act, that also use actual damages terminology. In those contexts, the chameleon's colors have been read by the lower courts to mean general damages. The court majority in Cooper cast some doubt on those constructions when it only, quote, assumed for the sake of argument that they are correct. For the Federalist Society, this is Richard Pelt Steele of UMass Law School.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.